Well, let us study the Bible together again, verse by verse, by going to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And I think we ought to start with verse 23, where we broke off yesterday. We're seeing David evacuate the city of Jerusalem after the coup of Absalom has begun. Now, Absalom's down in Hebron, where he has been crowned the new king of United Israel. That's about 30 miles to the south of Jerusalem. But the signal information has already gotten to the city of Jerusalem. And so David figures anyone that might be killed by Absalom needs to leave the area. That would include all of his full-fledged wives, their children, and all his administrative personnel that won't serve on Absalom's side. So this contingent has all headed east from the city of Jerusalem. And according to verse 23, it says, all the land wept aloud as all the people passed by, and the king crossed the brook Kidron, and all the people passed on toward the wilderness. So his military attachments and his administrative personnel, his royal family, they've all crossed the boundary of the Kidron, which is it's the drainage stream between Jerusalem on the west and the Mount of Olives on the east. So he goes across that. Their whole group go across that. They head up to the ridgeline of the Mount of Olives, and then they head off to the north and ultimately off to the east, where they're going to head down toward Jericho. Now, before they get out of the area, though, while they're still kind of waiting for everyone to get on the road, something else happens. That's verse 24. Abiathar came up. Now, you remember him? He's the surviving son of the high priest that Saul had murdered whenever David escaped from Saul those last 2 years. So we're talking about someone who, since this is about the 35th year of David, someone who about 37 years ago joined David as a young priest and has served as his high priest since then. He has the Urim and the Thummim. He has the high priestly uniform. So Abiathar came up, and behold, Zadok came also with all the Levites bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. These two men, both of them priests, have been leading in the spiritual life of Israel at the two spiritual sites. The one is the tabernacle at Gibeon, northwest of Jerusalem, just a few miles. And then the other is the little tent structure in the palace grounds at Jerusalem, where the Ark of the Covenant is kept. So these two spiritual leaders have both come to join David in being evacuated across the Jordan River. So these Levites that came with Zadok were bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. So they're bringing God's symbolic throne on earth with them. They set down the Ark of God until the people had all passed out of the city. And then the king said to Zadok, you carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of he who is, he will bring me back and let me see both it and his dwelling place. So David says, Zadok, I appreciate you wanting to bring the Ark with me, but I don't see a reason for God's throne to go in exile. You take it back in, put it back where it belongs, and if God wills, I'll be back and be able to worship at the Ark and also go to the tabernacle and worship there. But, verse 26 says, if he says, I have no pleasure in you, behold, here I am, Let him do to me what seems good to him. Now, those last words of David, I think, signal his belief that perhaps this is all happening as God's judgment on him because of his failings. I mean, after all, this is part of the fallout of David's adultery with Bathsheba, followed by the death of Uriah the Hittite, and then not stepping in properly on the rape of his daughter Tamar, and apparently not dealing well with Absalom either, because now Absalom wants David dead, wants his throne, and everything is in turmoil. So David feels maybe, just maybe, this is all God letting me know that he doesn't care for the way I've carried things out. So, bit of depression on his part, but he leaves open the possibility that God will bring him back. Verse number 27, the king also said to Zadok the priest, "Are you not a seer?" Now, seer is the old-fashioned way of talking about a prophet. So David sees Zadok as one of God's prophets, and he says, "You go back into the city in peace with your two sons, Ahimaaz your son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar." So two named sons of these two named priests. "See, I will wait at the fords of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me." So David says, we're going to go down into the Jordan Valley, across from Jericho, at the crossing point, the more shallow area of the Jordan River. We're going to go down there and wait until you send word of things that are going on here in the city. Verse number 29. So Zadok and Abiathar carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. But David went up to the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. So he takes the path up to the top of the Mount of Olives, crying, probably looking back from time to time into the direction of Jerusalem. He's barefoot with his head covered. Those are signs of grief and sorrow. And all the people who were with him covered their heads, and they went up, weeping as they went. And it was told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Remember, we talked about this yesterday. Ahithophel had been a longtime advisor to King David, but he has thrown in his support for Absalom's coup. And so now that David knows that, he puts a curse on him. David said, "Oh, he who is, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." So stop him from giving Absalom good advice. While David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, apparently there's a site up at the top of the Mount of Olives at this particular time, that was a worship overlook. "Behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat torn and dirt on his head. And David said to him, 'If you go with me, you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your father's servant in time past, so now I will be your servant,' then you will defeat for me the counsel of Ahithophel." So this guy, Hushai, is apparently an older gentleman. Now, David is 65, so Hushai must be much older than that. Maybe he's in his later 70s, maybe even in his 80s or older. And David says, "Look, you're just going to be a burden, going to drag the whole procession on for this evacuation. I've got a better job for you. If you go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait for Absalom to show up, and offer your assistance to his kingdom, you can keep Ahithophel from providing good advice to Absalom and help him track me down and well, effectively do away with my kingdom. So this gentleman is going to agree to that and be used as a sort of inside man in the new administration. But also this, it says in verse number 35, are not Zadok and Abiathar the priests with you there? So whatever you hear from the king's house, you tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, their two sons are with them there, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send to me everything you hear. So he's setting up a spy network. Hushai is going to be the inside man inside the council being given to Absalom. But he has instant access to the two priests that are pro-David, and their sons can become runners with any information to head down to the Jordan River to the crossing point where David's going to be waiting and give him a heads up of what's going on. Verse 37, so Hushai, David's friend, came into the city just as Absalom was entering Jerusalem. So Absalom has arrived and David is gone. And apparently he's only going to be an hour or so away from Jerusalem whenever this next part is going to happen with Absalom getting advice. Maybe a couple of hours on the road. All right, before then, chapter 16. When David had passed a little beyond the summit, now he's heading north along the ridge of the Mount of Olives, which is a roadway that heads through Benjamin and then down into the Jordan Valley. So he's passed a little bit beyond the summit. Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, or Merib Baal, this is Jonathan's son that has been living with David at the palace. Remember, he's crippled in the feet. So Ziba, the servant of Merib Baal, met David with a couple of donkeys saddled, bearing 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, 100 of summer fruits, and a skin of wine. And the king said to Ziba, why have you brought these? And Ziba answered, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who faint in the wilderness to drink. So supplies for your evacuation, effectively. Then the king said, where is your master's son? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he remains in Jerusalem, for he said, today the house of Israel will give me back the kingdom of my father. Now, I am going to tell you my very strong opinion on this right now, and I will repeat it again later. I think Ziba is lying through his teeth. You remember, Ziba was the guy that controlled the estate of the late King Saul and his late sons until probably about 14 years into the reign of David. David found and honored Jonathan's son Merib Baal. And at that time, he declared that all of the estate of the late Saul was now the property of Merib Baal. So Ziba kind of lost some power when that happened. And so here on this particular day, Ziba comes out and tells David, oh yeah, Merib Baal is, he's stand behind in Jerusalem because he thinks he's going to get his kingdom. He thinks he's going to be declared the king of United Israel. Now it's kind of insane on its face, isn't it? Because Absalom is the one that is declaring himself to be the king of United Israel. If anything, Absalom would respond to any claim from Merba'al in a lethal fashion and would kill him on the spot. But this cover story is basically to get David mad at Merba'al and put Ziba back in charge of the properties. And so guess what happens? Verse 4. The king said to Ziba, "Behold, all that belonged to Merba'al is now yours." And Ziba said, "I pay homage. Let me ever find favor in your sight, my lord the king." So he got exactly what he wanted. He's now in control of those same properties again, he and his family. And it's possible that David may have made this declaration with some sort of oath in the name of the Lord so that he won't be able to go back on it later. But David reacts based on this information that Ziba gave him, which I believe is false information. Okay, on to the next story. Verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, which is another town on this path, and it's part of Benjamite territory, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, and as he came, he cursed continually. So this is one of Saul's relatives, maybe some sort of cousin. And he comes out hurling divine curses down on David. And it's not just verbal things that he's throwing at him. Verse 6 says, he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men who were on his right hand and on his left. So he's kind of up above them, throwing things at them and basically saying, God is doing you in just like you needed to be. And some of David's men are not happy that this is happening. Verse 7, Shimei said as he cursed, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. He who is has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul in whose place you've reigned. And he who is has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. So that's the cursing that he's doing, is basically saying, you're getting what is coming to you. You're getting what you deserve because you stole the kingdom from my relative Saul's family. Now, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, remember, this is David's nephew, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and I'll take off his head. Now, this is not the first time that Abishai has offered to kill somebody for David. But David is having none of that. David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Now, that's a reference to both Abishai and his older brother Joab. Remember, these two men murdered, the king's cousin, Abner, and David has not been happy with them since, even though he can't seem to get rid of them. And so he says, I've got nothing to do with you guys. If he's cursing because he who is has said to him, curse David, who then shall say, why have you done so? So this is another indicator that David is rather depressed on this day. And he thinks it's possible that this is the judgment of God coming down upon him. And he is willing to let it happen. Even if this guy wants to say bad things about him, that maybe this is happening at God's hand, then let him say it. Because maybe, just maybe, it's true. David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my own son seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for he who is has told him to. It may be that he who is will look on the wrong done to me, and that he who is will repay me with good for his cursing today." Now, that's a little bit of a positive spin on the negative talk that he was just doing. That is, basically, if enough nasty things happen to me, maybe God will have pity and reverse the situation. So, David and his men went on the road with Shimei, who went along on the hillside opposite him, and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and flung dust. So this guy's making a big stink out of this whole situation and just dogs them down the road for quite some ways. And the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary at the Jordan, and there he refreshed himself. So they make it to the crossing point, the fords of the Jordan River, just kind of a more shallow crossing area, and they make camp and wait because they need to get information of what's happening next as far as Absalom is concerned. Verse 15, "Now Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, Hushai said to Absalom, 'Long live the king! Long live the king!' And Absalom said to Hushai, 'Is this your loyalty to your friend? Why didn't you go with your friend?' And Hushai said to Absalom, 'No, for whom he who is and this people and all the men of Israel or the people of Israel have chosen, his I will be, and with him I will remain. And again, whom shall I serve? Shall it not be his son? As I've served your father, so I will serve you.'" So Absalom is at first a little bit suspicious of Ahithophel. It says, "How come you're still here, old man? How come you didn't go with my father? And why are you wanting to be supportive of me?" And Ahithophel's response is basically, "Because this is perhaps what the Lord wants. Why wouldn't I serve you with the same sort of loyalty that I serve your father, since you are here in charge, because that's apparently what the people want?" Because this is a popular coup. Understand that. It would appear that a very large portion of the people of Israel are on board with Absalom becoming the new king. So Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give counsel. What shall we do?" So now we sit down and we have this war council. Ahithophel said to Absalom, "You need to go into your father's concubines, whom he left to keep his house, and all Israel will hear that you've made yourself a stench to your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strengthened." So first piece of advice is, make sure that there's no going back with your dad, no reconciliation. And the best way that you can do that is to publicly show the people that you're taking over his harem, his women that he's been married to, even if it's just the concubines that he left. Verse number 22, "So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel." So he doesn't have sex with them out in the open, but everybody knows what's going on inside those panels of canvas. And so in those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God, and so was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed both by David and by Absalom. So first order of business is make sure that there's no path back to reconciling with your father. Show the people that you are the new king. You're taking over all the contracts that he left behind, in this case, in the shape of his concubines. And everybody will understand you're on board with this this reign that you're taking over. So he does that, and this fulfills something that was part of the curse against David, that what he did in secret was going to be done back to him in public. And it certainly did happen that way. Now, the next thing that's going to happen is that Hushai is going to try to stop Ahithophel from giving good advice that might have got David and his men killed right off the bat. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week, Lord willing.